The gospel reading today, we hear that great question that our Lord directs to his apostles. Who do people say that I am? And of course, we all know the answer to that. And we know that Peter got the answer right. You are the Christ. But we have to be able to recognize what Peter said, because there were many Christs. The word Christ simply meaning anointed one. Every priest, every prophet, every king was anointed. And so they were considered to be a Christ in that sense. Just as St. John says, there are many such antichrists, but there is only one who is the antichrist. So too, there are many Christs. Yourself included, I might point out. You were anointed on the day you were baptized with chrism on the forehead. You were anointed also on the day that you were confirmed, once again with chrism on the forehead. But there is a difference between your anointing and that of the Old Testament priests, prophets, and kings, because your anointing made you a member of Jesus the Christ. So there are many different Christs in that sense, but there is only one who is the Christ. And that's the distinction even that St. Peter made. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. There is only one who can be spoken of that way. We can be called sons and daughters of God, but we can be called that only because we are members of the one Son of God. So we are another Christ, alter Christus, as it would be said, and we are members of the Son of God, therefore we are sons and daughters of God. But we can say that only because we can say of the Lord Jesus that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And again, we need to be very clear about that. The Jehovah's Witnesses, for instance, when it comes to the beginning of St. John's Gospel, decided to translate their Bible a little bit differently. And that little bit of difference makes all the difference in the world. Their translation says, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was a God." Not that the Word was God, he was a God, separate from God. We cannot say that. We cannot just simply say he is a Christ. He is the Christ, the only one. That is why we believe in him. So now we again have to ask the question, do we really believe that? That, as I've been harping on for the last couple of days, is exactly what each and every one of us is going to have an opportunity to prove. Lip service is going to get no one anywhere. Jesus said, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of heaven. We need to put it into practice. He said, only those who do the will of my heavenly Father. That's what we have the opportunity to do. So in all the panic that people are feeling right now, put it aside. What good is it going to do you anyway? All the anger, all the upset, all the panic, is that going to change anything? Is that going to keep a document from coming out that says that you can't do this Mass? No, it's not going to change a thing. It's just going to make your life miserable. And the only thing that it proves to us is that we do not have faith. Remember when the apostles panicked and they got all upset? Jesus was sleeping in the boat. They woke him up and said, "Don't you care that we're drowning?" He quieted everything and said, "Do you still not have faith?" Jesus is in the boat. Saint Therese pointed it out so beautifully. Did they really think if Jesus was in the boat that it was going to sink? And even if you say, well, it might have, he could walk on water. He demonstrated that. And not only could he do it, but he pulled Peter up out of the water when he started to sink. So we have nothing to worry about. Nothing. Listen again to what he promised in the gospel reading today. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Do you believe that? Then why worry? You see, the apostles didn't understand the resurrection from the dead when Jesus told them what was going to happen. The Son of Man must be handed over, and they're going to hand him over to the Gentiles, and he'll be whipped and scourged, and he'll be crucified, but he'll rise on the third day. And it's like, what? Remember, they were coming down from Mount Tabor, and they were discussing among themselves, what does the resurrection from the dead mean? They had no idea. Consequently, they couldn't put their faith in it because they didn't understand it. You do. So the church is going to be crucified. The church is going to rise. The jaws of hell will not prevail against it, because Jesus is the Son of God. The church is Jesus Christ. Satan cannot prevail over the church any more than he can prevail over our Lord Jesus himself. So why worry? Why get upset? Why panic? We need to learn from our Blessed Lady. She just kept her focus where it belonged. She remained at peace. She didn't panic. She understood what needed to happen. And as I have pointed out many, many times, in the time that our Lord was in the tomb, the faith of the church remained in one person only, because only one human person believed that Jesus was going to rise from the dead, and that was his mother. No one else believed it. They didn't understand. They didn't believe. The church is going to be crucified, and the church will rise. Do you believe that? Then why get upset? Why worry? As I have said a couple of times, and I will continue to repeat, you are being given the greatest privilege that anyone who professes their faith in Jesus Christ has ever had. Unless you would have been alive 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem, that would have been even better. But since then, this is the greatest moment ever. Ever. And you're being given that privilege. We should be rejoicing rather than panicking. We should be glorifying God rather than being angry. Because we're being given a privilege that no other Christian person has ever had. And no other Christian person ever will have till the very end of the world comes. God has chosen you to be alive now when this is happening. So trust him. Be at peace. Don't worry. Look at the first reading. Can God do something different if he wants? God can do anything. Peter is there with chains and two sets of four soldiers on either side and double-doored and everything else. The chains fall from his hands. The doors open up. The guards are sound asleep or whatever they are, and they just walk right through. If God wants the church to not have to be crucified, he can just take her right through. But if he wants it to happen, it's going to happen. And as I keep saying, it is necessary. Remember, didn't Jesus say that to his disciples on the road to Emmaus? Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer and to die in order to enter into his glory? Is it not necessary that the church, the mystical Christ, must do the same? Yes. If for some reason God decides that this isn't the right time, then it's not going to happen yet. It will be happening, just not yet, if that's the case. I think it is the time. So, praise God. Understand a different perspective of this. They're coming after the traditional Mass first. You're the first fruits. Look at Scripture. The first fruits have kind of a special place. So how are you going to handle this? You can run to one of the Eastern rites. Their masses are all valid, but they're going to come after the Eastern rite masses next. You could go to one of the breakaway groups, and then you're going to be just like those people that stood off by the side and beat their breast as Jesus died on the cross. They just want to watch. They don't really want to be part of it. Really? If you're given the opportunity to be at the cross or to be watching from the cheap seats, which are you going to choose? I want to be out on the field if I'm going to have an opportunity. I don't want to be sitting up in the cheap seats if I can actually be one of the players. If I can be with our Blessed Lady and St. John, St. Mary Magdalene, if I can be with Jesus on the cross, that's where I want to be. I don't want to be sitting off on the side saying, oh, isn't this sad that it's happening? No, put me there. That's where we want to be. That's the choice every one of us has to make. You can run away. The apostles did. Or you can be like Our Lady. She didn't run away. She ran to the cross. She ran to the tomb. She was there. She didn't run away from any of it. But she was at peace in the midst of it. And we can be too. So some things to ponder. I'll keep harping at it because we're still human and we still go through all of our stuff. So we'll just keep pounding at it to hopefully recognize what's going on so that we can handle this in the right way. If the mystical Christ is going to be crucified, then the mystical Christ has to handle this the same way that the historical Christ did. He was at peace. Remember at the Last Supper, he said, I have longed for this. This is the purpose for which I came into this world. Are we longing for this? Do we really want this? You can say, well, I don't know. I mean, why would we want the church to be crucified? Look at the corruption. Do you want this to continue? We need to get to the glorified church. We need to get to the resurrection. We need to clean out the garbage, because it is full of garbage right now. So it needs to happen. Allow the Lord to do what he needs to do. It's a necessity. And be at peace, because the jaws of hell will not prevail against the church.